Hello, podcast listeners. This is Chris Sauter, lead pastor of Neighborhood Church of Cloquet. And if you heard that, you might be thinking, wait a second, weren't we the Cloquet Vineyard Church? Exactly. We have transitioned out of the Vineyard movement and now are called the Neighborhood Church of Cloquet. And to get more answers to all the questions that are bouncing around in your head, please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org, where there's a brief video that I share of how and why we transition where we're going. And if you find that these messages bring something good and beautiful to your life, that they are inspiring, that they are life-giving, well, we invite you to do the same thing that today that you'll hear that we invite our whole church to as we go through this transition. First one is this, is show up or maybe like speak up. If you live in this vicinity, we'd love to meet you. I'd love to be able to put a face to your name of saying, hey, I've been listening to this for the last 3 years. Or go on to our website and go to the contact and send me an email saying, hey, I love this community. I support this community. And second thing is this. If you really do find meaning and belonging and these messages are life-giving, we are encouraging our whole entire community to give generously financially. And if you'd like to invest in this community, you can give online, again, at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. So I hope that this message of our transition brings energy, it brings heaven, and it brings Jesus to your doorstep. Have a good and beautiful day, friends.
Church. Some of you guys know me. I'm the neighborhood kids pastor. So if you guys have kids, you will see me upstairs most of the time that I'm hanging out here. And this morning I get to share some of my story and the way that God has worked in and through that. So I'm really excited to be up here. I'm also really nervous. So follow me as I stumble through. I'm talking about authenticity today and what it shows up to really just or what it looks like to show up intentionally authentic and how I have learned about what that looks like in like the really good stuff and also the really hard stuff. So before I go there, I'm going to share a little bit about myself. So I said my name already. And I said what I do. I've been married for a little over 6 years, and my husband and I have two boys together, and they are 3 and 5 now. A lot of times you guys will see them running around the halls and making themselves at home here. Yeah, they're pretty great. But yeah, growing up, you guys, I had this whole idea of what it looked like to show up and live authentically instilled in me from like the way that my parents raised me, the way that they taught me about how to come and be honest, even when it meant it would be hard sometimes. And so I have these memories of my dad like talking to me as a little girl and being like, Angela, it's really important to be honest. So he would tell me that showing up mattered, and that even when it was hard to tell the truth, that there was fruit in that. There was growth there. And so ever since I can remember, I like took those words and I held on to them. It was the way that I wanted to live my life, and it was what I wanted to invite my friends into. And I don't think I like comprehended that as a little girl, but the way that I was doing things was like, I desire this because as I'm able to show up as myself and as I'm able to come and be honest about where I am or where I'm falling short, there's this good stuff happening in me. And so, yeah, there are these memories of being a kid, and I have older siblings, two older siblings and a younger one. So I grew up with siblings. And you guys, if you have siblings, you know what it's like, right? Like you can really love them, but you can also argue with them like every other minute. And so we would argue a lot. And if my parents were around and they were seeing what was going on, they would make us do these three things. And I'll never forget it because it was just a part of the way that my family functioned. They would stop us if they were in the room, and they would say, hey, you need to say that you're sorry. You need to apologize for like whatever's going on here. And then after we apologized, we would have to tell them that we loved them. Okay, so it's already hard enough to say sorry. Now we have to tell you that we love you. And then the hardest thing, I don't know if anybody else had to do this, we had to hug them. And it was every time we had to do that. It wasn't like a sometimes, but like if my parents were around and they saw it, like they would just make us show up in that way. And kind of goofy, right? Like I don't know if as adults we would go around and do those three things every time that we like hurt somebody's feelings. But it did something inside me that I was able to like break down these walls of like, oh, like I really do love you. I don't really want to say it right now, but I do. And hugging them, like getting close to somebody who you really do care about, it's like just like walls break down, right? And so there was this vulnerability in that, and it gave me room to show up where I was. And so those are experiences as a kid that I have taken into like being an adult and how I've wanted to function, how I've wanted to do relationship with my friends and in my marriage and with my kids. I'm really thankful for that. And over the years, it hasn't always been that easy, and there have been plenty of times that I haven't done the best job at it. But over like the past 5 or 6 years, you guys, like I have leaned into this whole idea of like, what would it really look like to be intentionally authentic in every area of my life? And there's this author, some of you guys might know her, but she's one of my favorites right now. Brené Brown really shares this well. She says she defines authenticity like this. She says, authenticity is letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. Letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. And you guys, like that's Jesus. And when we look at the Bible and we see the way that he lived his life, he showed up and he never failed to just be who he was. He never failed to try to like be something else for whatever it was that everybody else's agenda was. And so the way that I have experienced Jesus in my life is like getting to show up in the mess, getting to show up even when it's really good. Like sometimes there are seasons where we get to celebrate and we're happy and like we get to be there and we don't have to like downplay it. And there are seasons where that can be like really hard and painful, and we also get to be there, and it's not a threat to who God is. So I thought, why not share a season of my life where that was really challenging for me and what I've learned from that. So if you guys go back 6 years with me, I told you that I just got married, and we're just figuring it out, and you guys, we're still figuring it out. I don't know what we're doing. But we're just figuring it out. We're like, we just got married. This is awesome. What do we want to do? And 3 months go by, and I got pregnant. And so you can probably understand by the way that I'm sharing that it wasn't something that we had planned. It wasn't like part of like our, this is what we're going to do in this amount of time. We had nothing planned. We didn't know what we wanted to do. So it was a complete shock. It wasn't what we anticipated. And in that, I will never forget taking this test and feeling the fear wash over me and like the shame. And so as I stand up here this morning and share that with you guys, I've shared it with like small groups of people or like people that I know and trust. But to say like there was like shame attached to this like this thing that was so good, I felt like so bad that I wasn't excited for. And so I'm processing, I'm able to show up with my husband, I'm able to kind of tell him like where I'm at. But outside of that, I started like stuffing my emotions. I started to feel like I just need to kind of like show up and pretend that it's okay. Because the more that I just pretend it's okay, I'll be okay, right? I'll be excited. And weeks go by, and pretty soon it's like the end of my first trimester. So I'm like, kind of thought I was going to be in a different place. Like, well, I kind of thought I'd be excited by now. And I wasn't. I wasn't there yet. And so in that, I had, at the time, I was a leader in our student ministries at the church that I was at. And so my pastor was actually helping me prepare to lead this missions trip with these students. And I was like really excited about it. And then I found out, well, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And so I found out that when I was supposed to leave for this trip, it was the same time that I was due. And so I met with my pastor to basically say, hey, I can't do this trip anymore, and this is why. And I figured by the time that I got in his office and got to that place that I would be able to just be excited and be happy, or at least pretend that I was. And so I met with him, I had this meeting, and I got to his office, and He's like, what's your vision? How are you doing? What are your dreams? How are you feeling about this? And I'm like, I can't lead the trip because I'm going to have a baby around the time that we leave. And I just said it like very like matter. Like I just had to say it. I was just trying to sound excited. And my pastor's response, you guys, I wasn't expecting him to be mad, but he was so excited. And so I was like trying to meet him there. And he's like, that's great news. This is so awesome. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Congratulations. And I was like, yeah. And I think he was able to like, oh, I don't know like where she's at. So he stopped and he's like, but wait, how are you doing? Like, how are you feeling about this? And in that moment, I felt like there was this opportunity to like actually share where I was. Like, maybe it's not a threat to who God is if I just tell you, like, I'm actually terrified. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I am carrying a lot of shame because I feel like I should be excited and I'm not excited. And so I'm sitting in there with him and I'm telling him all these things, and all of a sudden I see walls breaking down inside me. I start to cry. I start to actually process everything that I've stuffed. And he lets me go on for a while, but I just like in circles at this point. So eventually he stops me, and these are the words, you guys, these are the words that I've taken with me the past 6 years. He stops me and he looks me in the eyes and he says, Angela, it's okay to be where you're at. Where do you guys need to hear that? In like where you're at in your life, whatever season you're in, whatever you're walking through, whatever might be like feel really good and whatever might feel really hard, where do you need those words to like just sink in? It's okay to be where you're at. And you guys, in the way that my pastor showed up authentically, in the way that he came and gave me room to be honest and vulnerable, I was able to be authentic. So I started to think, what if I can do this? What if I actually am able to show up in these moments? And not that I need to like stand on stage and tell you guys that I'm feeling all these things or announce it from like wherever, but like maybe there would be these safe places, these people that I could trust, that I could actually be vulnerable with, that I could trust with my feelings and my heart. And if I'm able to show up in those places, then like I can maybe experience more of this authentic living. So I took those words and that was 6 years ago. So I've been leaning into it. I've clearly never forgotten that what he said back then. And so 9 months go by and really, really fast. And and we had Lewin. And some of you guys know Lewin, and he's amazing. I can't imagine life without Lewin. I can't imagine life outside of what I know right now. But my story isn't about like, oh, like I had this baby and now everything's great. It's like, because I was able to show up and be where I was, this whole idea of like living life as a mom and raising this little boy that at one point I was so terrified for like what this would look like for me and how I would do it and what like all the things that you feel. And now I'm in this place where I got to have him, I got to hold him, and I got to feel God's goodness by the way that I decided to live and lean into being authentic those months that I was pregnant and then even afterwards. So I've taken that and I have like grown and I've done things maybe really well sometimes, but a lot of times I've failed terribly. But in all of that, you guys, God is not threatened by us showing up as we are. So we're gonna dive into Proverbs, but before we do that, I want you to think of like, what's going on in your life? Where do you find yourself where you're really leaning into this and you can like pinpoint like, this is where I think maybe I'm doing it really well and these are some things in my life right now that feel super challenging. I would love to know how to lean in more to what this whole idea of being authentic is. So I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna dive in. Yeah, so Jesus, I just thank you for who you are and the way that you show up. God, and as I speak this morning, would you continue to speak through me? Would you continue to speak the way that you do to everyone who's sitting here this morning, everybody who's listening on the podcast? Amen. Okay, so we're gonna be in Proverbs 2, but before we get there, I wanted to share with you like the context, like Proverbs 1. And so Proverbs 1, you guys, is written by King Solomon, and he is writing this as kind of like this guide to like how can we live more fully in who we are? How can we actually be authentic? And he talks a lot about wisdom. This whole idea that like we get to lean into wisdom and that this wisdom is like available to everyone. And I think that was like huge for me. But okay, besides that, he talks about wisdom as this woman, that she's this actual woman standing in like busy areas, super loud, like she's just, you can't miss her. You can choose to like ignore what she's doing or what she's up to, but like she's there for all of us. So the idea that like wisdom is available to everyone kind of blew my mind in the sense of like, I kind of grew up thinking, well, like, some people are like wise at a young age, and otherwise you just like you get wise as you get older. And I think there's truth in that, but also like we get to grab onto wisdom. Everybody in here gets to experience God's wisdom. And in that, like the outflow is authenticity. Like we get to live more fully in who we're created to be when we lean into like this wisdom that God offers us. Okay, so that's Proverbs 1. Read it, but that's what I just said. Proverbs 2, you guys, I'm reading in the Message version, so I think it'll be up on the screen. We're reading through like 1 to 15. So good friend, take to heart what I'm telling you. Collect my counsels and guard them with your life. Tune your ears to the world of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right. If you make insight your priority and won't take no for an answer, searching for it like a prospector panning for gold, like an adventurer on a treasure hunt. Believe me, before you know it, fear of God will be yours. You'll have come upon the knowledge of God. And here's why. God gives out wisdom free, is plain spoken in knowledge and understanding. He's a rich mine of common sense for those who live well, a personal bodyguard to the candid and sincere. He keeps his eye on all who live honestly and pays special attention to his loyally committed ones. So now you can pick out what's true and fair, find all the good trails. Lady Wisdom will be your close friend, and Brother Knowledge your pleasant companion. Good Sense will scout ahead for danger. Insight will keep an eye out for you. They'll keep you from making wrong turns or following bad directions of those who are lost themselves and can't tell a tale from a tumbleweed. That's the wisdom that's available to us. And when we get to lean into that and live that out, we are experiencing the fullness of who we are, the fullness of who God has created us to be. And you guys, some of you know what the Enneagram is, but I'm not gonna go into detail about it this morning, but I'm a 2, so some of you might follow. But basically, I tell you that because I found out it's the 2s on the Enneagram, which is like this personality like test of how do you live out more fully in who you're created to be and how you're wired. So as I'm finding out I'm a 2, I'm finding out all these things about the way that I'm wired, things that make sense, things that I'm like, holy moly, like how in the world? So this is what I found out. I read that 2s spend 80% of their time thinking about their relationships. So you guys are laughing because you're probably not a 2, and you're like, what? And so when I read that, when I found that out, I was mind blown, but not because I was like, that's not me, but more because I know it's me, and I'm confused that you guys don't do the same thing. And so in that, as I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense, and not everybody's like me. So if not everybody like thinks the way I think, right? Like the way that we show up authentically looks different for all of us. But for me, when I'm leaning into this idea of wisdom, when I'm leaning into what God is saying to me, when I can choose to like ignore it or choose it, I find myself like in my relationships in like such a good, like healthy, like I'm able to invest and give time and energy there. But I could just be who I am. I just get to show up. And when I find myself like trying to control everything in life and trying to do it on my own, this is the difference. I will like overthink, I will overanalyze, I will spend like all day thinking about a small interaction that I had with somebody. you might be my best friend, but I might not even know you very well. And I will just like think, I shouldn't have done that, or why did they say this? Or well, like I'll think about their body language or response or lack of. And like I find that when I can just, okay, God, like what are you doing? And is it okay for me just to show up as I am? Those thoughts in my head, like they quiet down and I'm able to actually be present. I'm able to just show up and be like, this is who I am. This is where I don't have it all together. Like, this is it. But I don't double guess. I don't think so hard about it. So it looks different for you guys. Like, we're not all twos on the Enneagram. But, like, where do you find yourself, like, looking and you're like, this is a really challenging area of my life. I don't know how to show up and, like, actually be where I'm at here. Maybe it's at work or could be with some friends. It might even be, like, in your family life. But then, like, with that, like, how do you want to lean into this idea of wisdom? And where, like, where do you find yourself, like, needing the reminder that it is okay to be where you're at? Because that does change everything. So I said that I'm an Enneagram 2. Enneagram 2 is for those who don't know a lot about relationships, right? Like, I value them highly. I value quality time. I really enjoy helping people. It's part of who I am. Not everybody in here probably feels that way, I've come to learn. But that's okay. So in all of that, I'm finding out that I get to show up, and when I'm living out this idea of authenticity, I get to show up and I don't need to be needed to be loved. And so where do you feel like you guys can show up and like fully be there without having to be anything, without having to try to like act a certain way? Maybe you're really good at it. But what would it look like to lean into that more? And you guys, there's some, I've shared like some of the resources this morning, but I kind of wanted to like, and I think they'll be up here. Yeah. Three of the things that have helped me lean into this whole idea of actually living in the fullness of who I am. And so I talked about Proverbs, you guys, and we read a little bit out of that. But the whole book is awesome. And the reason that Proverbs is so great is that, well, lots of reasons, but it's easy to understand. It's easy to comprehend. There's all these different things that I feel like you can take with and be like, you can just rest in what it's telling you and lean into it. And it's also 31 chapters, which is awesome because it's kind of like devotional style. So if you guys are looking for something of like, well, I don't even know where to start, or what is this whole idea of wisdom that you're talking about? Proverbs is awesome. You can do like a chapter a day and dive into what God is saying. The other thing that I briefly shared is the Enneagram. And the test is amazing, but there's this book that I have really liked, and it's called The Road Back to You by Suzanne Stabile. So if you guys are looking for something, or the Enneagram sounds interesting, you want to know more, that's really good too. And then Brené Brown, she, you guys, I said she's my favorite author, but she writes a lot about authenticity and what it looks like to actually show up and be brave, even when it's hard, even when it looks messy. And she, all of her books are great, but the one that I've really loved is Daring Greatly. And talks a lot about courage and just being able to walk this whole thing out and know that like we're all just doing that, right? We're all doing the best we can. Yeah, so wherever you guys are, wherever you feel like you're really leaning into authenticity and what that looks like in your life, and wherever maybe you're like, I don't even know what it looks like to start, what would it look like to just say, like, maybe I can lean into this? Yeah, so God, I just ask that you would continue to do what you're doing in each person here this morning. And that for some of us, like, being authentic and showing up real feels really easy. But I think for most of us, it's a lot more challenging than we'd like to let on. So would you meet us where we are? And would you remind us that it really is okay to be where we're at? And in that, God, would you bring others around us that we can like encourage and love and show up in every area? So you guys, we're gonna have the prayer ministry team come up here, and we do this every week. But being able to come up and say, "Hey, like I need prayer for this," it's scary, it's uncomfortable, but when we can like open up to the idea that Jesus really does love us, there's no bounds, then it makes it a little bit easier to like step into that. And so if you're here this morning and anything rang true to you, or there's something totally else going on in your life, I would encourage you to come up for some prayer. But outside of that, you guys, as I was writing my message and getting ready for this, there was one thing that I wanted to share. One thing that I kept feeling like was on my heart. And that was specifically for people in here that maybe feel like you are like a caregiver. That's kind of something that you've worn, that's something that you feel is like a part of who you are, how you've always been, how you've always functioned. And being a caregiver, you guys, is amazing. And I love that we have so many people like that. But in that, you can feel so worn, right? You can feel like that's just who you are. That's how you've been created, and you just have to keep it together. Because in order to care for people, like you can't feel what you feel. And so if you're here this morning and you're like, yeah, I don't even know how to process where I'm at because I'm always doing stuff for everybody else. I'm always having to be the strong person. And so I just like push my emotions down. I push them to the side. What if you actually could just be where you're at? What if you could feel the emotions you feel? What if you could process that out? Because I think that's what God invites us into. So if you guys want to come down and that rings true to you, I like these people are amazing. Otherwise, somebody who you know that you're maybe sitting next to, get some prayer. But yeah, if you guys want to listen to some worship music, and then there's coffee when you leave. Thanks for showing up.